Welcome to The Hidden Persuaders. Alan Bonsall, director of lookingglass.com.au. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Dr. John Harrison, lecturer in journalism and communication from the University of Queensland. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Steve.
And back from a few weeks away, no doubt working on clients' issues, Amanda Newby, director of Articulous Communications. Where have you been, my dear?
I've been everywhere. There's
have
a
you?
Song, something like that.
Yes, there is.
I did take some holidays, and yes, I've been working all over the country.
I want to start with you. What have you seen? Is there anything on your radar? We've missed you so much. Is there anything on your radar that you would like to bring to the microphone this morning?
Give me a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well,
there's a million. It's actually trying to sort through it that makes rational sense.
Well, then for the three of you, let me play you the audio from the Q&A program last night. Now, on ABC TV, there is a panel discussion program based on a BBC sort of political talk program where Tony Jones invites a number of guests from different ranges, experiences in life, not necessarily terribly representative of anything, but it's occasionally entertaining and occasionally informative. But last night, one of the audience members asked a question, and it seemed like a bit of a setup or an indicator for a protest that took place by university students over higher education funding. Let me just play you what is 2 minutes of what happened last night.
Yeah, so how can you defend the deregulation of fees, turning universities more into businesses than providers of education for all? Because I truly think that education should be for all and not just the rich. So how can you defend fee deregulation?
Okay. I'm going to let you take a breather. So let's go to Anna Burke, first of all.
Well, I must be the oldest one here because I got my undergraduation.
Okay, guys, you're doing yourself no favours.
Okay, we're back to my university.
Now, it just keeps going on and on. Tony Jones, the presenter, couldn't hear his executive producer about what they were going to do. So apparently they eventually cut to an old bit of video that Q&A had in the sort of the archives. Let me ask the three of you, does this get your message across if you're a disgruntled university student worried about the corporatisation of the higher education sector?
Well, it gets you wall-to-wall coverage and wall-to-wall conversation, and certainly it cuts through. Does it appeal to the public? Does it make people like you or like your cause? Probably not. I think Q&A is a fantastic opportunity for people to have a say, and I think they probably did themselves a disservice, actually.
The Federal Education Minister, Christopher Pyne, was one of the guests, as was Anna Burke, the former Speaker of Federal Parliament.
People do it because they feel powerless and unheard. That's what moves people to do action like that. I used to be an education reporter. I have covered so many student rallies. I got so good at them that on one occasion, one of the student rallies got lost and I let them, you know, take the wrong turn. And then after about a block, I thought I better tell them where the federal offices are, because otherwise we're going to be wandering around this city for a very long time.
And you had to get back and file.
You had to get back and file your story.
Oh, look, I did. But that's, okay. I mean, that's how many of those that I covered. I just think that it will get them coverage. I don't know that it will win the hearts and minds of people.
Alan Bonsall.
Well, you ask from a communication professional perspective. I don't look at it that way. I look at it from a consumer's perspective or from a customer's perspective. And I'm a customer. I'm a viewer. And it annoyed me. Because I'm there to watch a program that I've chosen to watch, knowing what the structure of that program is. I don't think they gained anything. I don't think they achieved their objective at all. All they did was get people cranky. They got the host obviously cranky, but I think the people sitting at home in the armchairs were equally cranky. Very small audience that would be particularly impressed by that, and it would be probably fellow students.
John, any talk at the University of Queensland campus this morning about the brilliance of that direct action?
No, Stephen, no. It's pretty tame and pretty lame, I thought, really, compared with some of the stuff that I saw in the 70s. I mean, it really was pretty ordinary. I mean, there are photographs in the university archives of people going through the Vice-Chancellor's filing cabinets at the University of Queensland during the anti-war movement. So it's pretty ordinary.
Let me read you an email from a listener, David, who says, I do hope there'll be an opportunity to highlight two issues, or an issue of hypocrisy. Last evening's Q&A, with those unctuous comments by the overpaid Tony, this is not what democracy is all about, Jones, on what defines democracy. Set aside the man's obvious bias for a moment and ask the question, when you invite arguably one of the most divisive politicians in our country to engage in his regular rant, and you have an audience of students, the result is obvious.
Well,
we're talking about Christopher Pyne, Education Minister.
The author of the email, or the author of the tweet, exposes himself. I mean, for goodness sake.
There is a concern with some ABC programs, and I'm trying to give you an opening to air another issue, Alan, but you're concerned about the ABC, but the allegation has often been that Q&A is not a terribly balanced politically.
It's not balanced politically, Steve. It's imbalanced geographically. I mean, you only get idiots from Queensland. You know, you get clowns from Queensland. You get your Bob Catters and your Clive Palmers and your James Allens. You know, they're there for the entertainment value. They're not there. You know, where is Queensland's Malcolm Turnbull? You know, I mean, maybe it's because we don't wear leather jackets up here. I don't know.
Okay.
Steve, the other comment I'll make two quick comments about this and then we can move on. But the first thing is that obviously those people were from the hard left. They were Trotskyites or whatever they were. I mean, these people are quite well organised. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a very small remnant of the hard left.
Yep.
Around,
yes,
and they're not influential in campus politics at all. I mean, they're actually seen as being hardliners. The second observation I'll make, which may well surprise you, is that I actually think that Christopher Pyne's got some very good ideas about higher education, and I just wish sometimes, and I saw him on Insiders on Sunday, I just wish sometimes he'd leave the politics, he'd leave behind his role as leader of the government in the House. He'd put that aside and would seriously concentrate on higher education policy, because I think that some of the thinking that's around is in actual fact quite sensible and quite necessary.
They keep playing or engaging in politics rather than rolling out their policy ideas.
They play politics.
Because you think they've got some good policy ideas.
Well, I think they do. I think they've got some policy ideas we really do need to think through.
And is it in the messaging? Is it that sort of constant harping on about the opposition?
No, it's about role. Legacy. I mean, Christopher needs to put aside his role as the manager of opposition business and start playing the role of Minister for Education, given that we do not have a Minister for Science.
Alan Bonsall.
Having been forced to come out as a Conservative last week, I just like it to be understood that I actually do watch the ABC and I factor into my viewing the left-leaning bias, if that's what we're referring to here. I also read The Australian, and I then factor in my very conservative right-leaning bias that is into that is within that newspaper.
And your point is that people do that, or they know what they're on about.
My point is, if people are watching or reading, they should be doing that as a matter of course, understanding the medium that they're reading, what the objectives and goals of that particular media proprietor is or are, and go ahead accordingly.
We call it critical media literacy.
Thank you, John.
And the best thing that a student can ever say to you is, After being here, you know, having been taught by you and your colleagues, I can never watch television the same way again. And
that's a small number of people, I suppose.
But hopefully they're the brightest and the best.
This is 612 ABC Brisbane. My hidden persuaders are communications professionals from different political leanings and different employment backgrounds. Alan, since it flows on, you've been wanting for some time to talk about the ABC and its toe-to-toe, or ABC TV's toe-to-toe with News Limited, I think. I'll let you roll out your argument now and then we'll move on to some other things.
Well, it's not so much an argument. I think it's more a case of it's my distress, it's my frustration at to what would be very, very significant media outlets of this country, two of the most significant media outlets, having this constant brawl in front of the general public that doesn't seem to achieve any goals. It doesn't seem to get us anywhere other than two people. It's almost like Gingell and Packer squaring off, as if we have to show who's the best, who's the biggest. And I don't want to go there, but I am getting very, very frustrated that every time I pick up a News Limited paper or look at the ABC, there is this obvious brawl between the two. And I can't for the life of me understand why it has to be perpetuated.
Well, is there an issue at play at the moment that you think is worthy of discussion? Briefly, if you would.
Well, I think probably about a month ago there was a very, very clear issue that was focused around Paul Barry as the host of Media Watch, in terms of his lack of preparedness to apologise. And that had come out of another issue and another issue. And it just seemed to be this slanging match that was being perpetuated for no newsworthy value. Let's put it that way.
The Murdoch empire sees the free access. So the business model is now a paywall. And, of course, both the BBC and the ABC don't have paywalls because we already pay that through our taxes. And so the Murdoch empire sees this as a threat to their revenues, and therefore... And James Murdoch put it on the record in his McTaggart lecture a couple of years ago, where he basically argued that there was overreach by both the BBC and the ABC. And there has been some pullback in terms of the BBC in the UK. So it's a commercial argument. It's not an ideological argument. It's an argument that public broadcasters threaten Murdoch's revenue stream. That's my take on it. End of story. Now, that does not mean they're not false with the ABC. I mean, some of the ABC's news and current affairs programs are just simply appalling. I mean, I don't know why we have programs like The Drum, because they're not based on fact. Some of the regular television news bulletins are really quite... let's just say problematic.
I think that's my underpinning point, John, that it isn't about delivering news. This is something that is between the two organisations and should be fought in a different place.
So how would effective communicators tackle that? You think Chris Mitchell, the editor-in-chief of The Australian, and Mark Scott, the managing director of the ABC, should go and have a nice long lunch and sort of sort out their issues privately?
Yeah. Yes, let's not perpetuate what's on the front pages of the newspaper at the moment, but let's assume that they can, in a intelligent, mature way.
How do you communicate with someone you think constantly attacks you and is antagonistic towards you and doesn't want to listen to you? How do you communicate or get through to them?
Can I just say, this is exactly the same, though, issue that any organisation that's or person who's under fire from a media outlet faces.
That's why I'm asking you as my communication professional.
This is no different. This is saying, here's a big organisation, here's a big target, there's a lot of people interested and a lot of people who have queries and questions and complaints, and giving voice to that. As long as it's not personally driven, if it's driven via industry or there are genuine breaches or genuine concerns, then I think that that's okay. If it's personally driven, that's where it becomes difficult for anyone who is under fire from a news organisation.
Alan?
I totally support what Amanda's saying, that this to me has become a personality issue rather than looking at what is going to be in the best interests of the audience. Because I think there are enough intelligent people out there. I do believe that there are enough readers and viewers who are equally frustrated that this seems to be, whether it's perpetuated on a personality level or whether it's slanging, whether it's haranguing, as opposed to sitting down and looking at the role that both of those organisations have. News Corp has a legitimate position as a private organisation to hold a place, to hold its perspective. The ABC equally has a legitimate position. And I think most people have a sense of what those two positions are. And it is not to be played out, I don't think, as a personality battle, and then becomes one where attacks are made for the wrong reasons. And attacks on Paul Barry, attacks on somebody out of News Corp, doesn't matter who the personality is, it's what's ultimately being perceived by the audience.
In terms of brands, the ABC is a far more trusted brand than News Limited or The Australian.
Is this
my question,
that?
John,
is this
I think
that?
This is eroding
well,
it.
Well, Alan may argue that it's eroding it. Certainly, News Limited reports with great delight any drop in the level of appreciation of the ABC as a brand.
But Alan, you want to answer that? Is this eroding the ABC's brand as well?
As a consumer, as a viewer, I am frustrated by what I think is an unnecessary, unpleasant brawl.
So the answer is yes.
So the answer is absolutely yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Steve. No,
I have to move on because there's a number of other things around. Amanda, you haven't said much. Did you want to say a final word?
All I was going to say was that if you look on social media, there is certainly the public, the community, is getting behind the ABC.
This is 612 ABC Brisbane. Then can I ask you about another toe-to-toe between two friends, Bruce Gyngell and James Packer? Why didn't News Limited use... They apparently paid $200,000 for the photographs, I heard. I don't want to be unfair to News Limited if that's not the case, but I noted that they didn't use it as their One Punch Can Kill campaign.
Yes, that observation has been made. And it's look, I actually think this is disgraceful and...
I thought it's sad. These are guys are two friends.
Well, not just... Yes.
Close friends.
Yes.
This is the problem. This is the problem. That we run into with news. No, I'm not talking about News Limited. I'm talking about news
limited
in general.
News.
No, I'm talking about news in general, where, as Steve said, this is two mates.
Close mates.
Close mates who were having a fight. But once a person has of any status or profile, that becomes news everywhere. And so I think that's part of it. You know, it runs to the bit of celebrity, although obviously there's a reason why it is more newsworthy, and that is because it is celebrity. So we dictate that celebrity is news, and therefore anyone with profile, anything they do becomes newsworthy.
But Steve's question was about the One Punch Can Kill.
Oh yes, exactly.
And I think there's a huge dissonance here. There really is. I mean, I think that the News Limited journalists, you know, looking at this morning's Courier Mail, they've gone for the cheap shot. You know, and everybody has a big laugh, and
the whole of the papers,
yeah,
every single one of them.
Well, I haven't read both of the News Limited papers.
I think there is a significant difference, though, in the sense that we don't know what is the background to this particular.
The background is not relevant. The fact is that punches were thrown.
The background, I think, is relevant in the sense that there are two people who are very, very close, who've known each other since they were little kids, as opposed to the One Punch Will Kill campaign, which is generally being targeted against individuals who don't know each other. It's random violence. It's alcohol-fueled violence. Here we have a situation where there is a strong connection between these two gentlemen. One was the best man of the other for his second marriage. There is obviously a lot of history there. There is obviously a lot of emotion there, and that has spilled over into this particular fight. I don't think it's relevant to then put that into the same state, the same category as the One Punch Will Kill.
Amanda, final word.
And I'd agree with Alan. The One Punch One Kill is about being drunk and just king hitting someone because you can.
That's right.
This is 612 ABC Brisbane. Amanda Newbury, Alan Bonsall, and John Harrison are my guests. Before I let you go, the LNP copped a bit of a flogging in Queensland for running an art union raffle where you could win a Beamer.
Oh, it's a great idea.
I thought it was... What's wrong with that?
Yeah, fantastic
it's
idea.
It's open, transparent.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? Political parties get trashed for holding lunches where you turn up for $1,000 and eat to sit beside someone. This is just winning a car. Why not? It's a great idea.
But why was it a Beamer? Why wasn't it an Australian car?
Come on, John.
Do you know how to get wealthy?
Don't we make Australian cars and eat more?
Do you know how to get wealthy? I'll give you a very simple tip on how to get wealthy.
Go Alan Bonsall.
You go to a school fete, you put up a sign which says, first prize $100, raffle tickets $1. You sell 1,000 raffle tickets, you give out a $100 prize, you pocket $900 and go home. That's what's wrong with this. It's not for a charity. It's not an art union for the Home Endeavour or for the Salvation Army or for somebody else. It just smacks of the wrong It just doesn't send the right
message. No, I think it's clever. It's clever fundraising. Good on them.
Yeah, so you won't be buying a ticket, Alan?
No, I'm going to go to the local school fete this weekend and I'm going to put up my sign with a $100 first prize and sell 1,000 $1 tickets and I'll go home with $900. Thank you very much.
Thank you
and
for
I've
coming.
Done just what the LNP has just done.
Alan Bodzel from from lookingglass.com.au, Amanda Newby from Articulus Communications, John Harrison from the University of Queensland. I love having you guys in. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.